I'm John Morris of CMX Development, here today with Steve Mortensen of Smart Business Capital. Thanks for joining me, Steve.
I appreciate the opportunity, John.
Let's talk about some of the challenges associated with raising early-stage capital. When business owners start the process, what's one of the most common mistakes they make?
Entrepreneurs are often not properly prepared or equipped to raise capital because it's not something most do very often, and it requires a very specific skill set. So they frequently have unrealistic expectations about what it will take to succeed. You can learn a lot about the process online and through other resources, but this education focuses on generalities and principles, not the specific application to your business, which is left for you to figure out. For example, in addition to creating investment caliber pro forma financial statements, you also need to address valuation, deal structure and terms, and more. A mistake here could end up costing you dearly down the road if your company becomes highly successful. Plus, you don't really know how well you've done until you start talking to and showing your work to investors, which is a horrible time to get qualitative feedback from an experienced pair of eyes. Collaborating with an expert from an early stage in developing the tools you need and helping you learn how to properly discuss the specifics of your deal with investors can mean the difference between financial success and frustrating failure.
So, professional investment packaging and education along with coaching can address the first challenge. What's another common mistake business owners make when raising capital?
Targeting and approaching the wrong type of investors for their deal. What I mean is, wrong from the perspective of alignment with the company's current stage of development, or wrong in terms of synergistic benefits of the relationship, or wrong in terms of investor focus and appetite for the particulars of a specific deal. Let me give you an illustration of each. First, a brand new company without any market traction should not approach angel investor groups or venture capitalists because its stage of development is not aligned with what those financiers generally need to see before they can make an affirmative investment decision. So go get some market traction that proves the viability of your business first. Second, I've found that seeking early-stage investors who will receive multiple benefits from their relationship with your company is a powerful approach. Most investors are successful business people, and many continue to be involved with those businesses. Seek investors that have companies that could significantly benefit from being your client, or that would be an excellent service provider for your business. These investors get multiple benefits from the relationship: owning a piece of your company and being a valued client or service provider. These investors will want you to be successful for multiple reasons. Third, investors often have preferences for certain industries they tend to invest in. For example, if you have a social media technology business, it would generally be a waste of time pursuing investors that fund biotech companies. Also, if your company has the potential to become a $20 million business, but an investor prefers $200 million or larger companies, there's probably not much chance of onboarding that investor. One more observation about investor targeting. There will always be a few stories about companies that were successful in getting funded but didn't follow this kind of approach. They are exceptions and often had some unique relationship with capital that most entrepreneurs don't have. So your best approach is to go with the percentages, and investor targeting is a viable and proven way to do it. I've known many entrepreneurs who gave up because they expended their energy and resources chasing investors that were not in the sweet spot of their opportunity. This is an issue that can be avoided to a large degree with a proper strategic focus and approach.
Let's assume business owners have been successful in finding investors seriously interested in their deal. What are some of the things that often go wrong?
Closing an investment deal is a process, and a deal is never done until mutually agreeable terms are properly documented and signed, and the funds have been received and cleared by your bank. Until that happens, many things can come up which prevent a deal from closing. For example, you may not be able to agree with some investors on a reasonable valuation for your business, which means how much of the company they will own for a specific amount of capital. But even if you can agree on a valuation, the terms an investor may want could make the deal very unattractive for you. Imagine that you've both agreed on a $5 million valuation, but the investor wants terms that say that if you do not achieve your financial projections, the investor will get a higher percentage of your company for no additional capital. This scenario is not uncommon and could become a deal breaker. And here's another challenge. Before a deal closes, investors often conduct due diligence on the company and founders. If negative information results from due diligence, it can bring the deal to a halt. There are ways to mitigate this issue in cases where negative information does exist, but it should be disclosed in the right way and at the right time in order to minimize the damage. The devil is clearly in the details when it comes to negotiating deal terms. Investors typically have professional advisors looking out for their best interests from multiple perspectives. Entrepreneurs need the same, including expertise with early stage capitalization. There are professional and appropriate ways to deal with all the challenges that arise with investors throughout the closing process, and it always helps to have expertise on your side of the table to prevent costly and painful mistakes.
There are people who say they have personal investor connections and have raised capital before and will do the same for you for a percentage of what they raise. Wouldn't it be easier to just turn over the capital raising process to someone like that who will take care of the whole thing?
It's a tempting promise, but one that rarely turns out well for business owners. I'll refer to these service providers as formal or informal finders. Investment bankers, brokers, and registered investment advisors are formal finders. They're all licensed, often have offices in swanky financial districts, and may have billions of dollars of investor capital under management. This paints a very attractive picture for entrepreneurs needing capital. But the reality is, these finders approach deals much the same way as angel or venture capital groups do. Your business has to be far enough along in its stage of development to have achieved significant market traction, or their interest will wane and disappear. Big money wants to back a sure thing. And though there are few sure things in this world, market traction goes a long way to generating investor interest and enthusiasm. So if your business has not yet achieved significant market traction, formal finders are unlikely to procure the capital you need now. Which brings us to informal finders. These are often people who have wealthy friends or associates that may have invested in a deal the finder introduced them to in the past. Informal finders typically don't advertise, but their names turn up as you start networking to find investors for your deal. The conversation goes something like this. I know a guy connected to wealthy people that can easily fund your whole deal. In my experience, there are several major problems with informal finders. First, assuming that the wealthy friends or associates story is even true, after an informal finder has pitched your deal to those investors, if none are interested, that finder is done. The premise of the relationship is exhausted without any success for you. But even if an informal finder continues to seek investor introductions for you after that, they are still subject to an even larger problem. Unless finders are licensed and registered with FINRA, which is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, it's illegal for them to receive any success fees for their help raising capital. If you pay such fees to an unlicensed finder and are later caught through an audit or by a disgruntled investor, the result could be the loss of your business along with all the pain and embarrassment that go with it. It's just not worth the risk.
From our conversation, there seems to be plenty of obstacles to raising capital, but expertise and a proven process can give business owners a much better chance of success. Steve, thanks for chatting with me today.
Thank you, John. It's always a pleasure.